Hygiene and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
Love is in the air. I won't sing because I'm a horrible singer, so we're going to talk about love. And I hate to say it this way. We're going to talk about love a little bit with the science, scientifically, because there are some interesting studies, regarding love and how there are positive effects for our health and stuff. So I'm not trying to turn love into some, boring, sterile type thing. But it's always nice to see how sometimes our emotions, laughter, that kind of stuff does translate into actual provable scientific, results. So we'll talk about it. I'm on with a wonderful, wonderful person, Paula Phelps. She's the editor of Live Happy Science. I love that. Live Happy Science, and has worked as a freelance writer, for all kinds of publications, Executive Travel, American Driver, Self, iVillage.com, and she's the author of 6 books ranging on topics from business to spirituality. She's, in addition to her work as a writer and editor, Paula is an advocate for sexual abuse survivors, and she also founded the Sexual Abuse Resource Network in 2011. Paula, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about love, and I guess scientifically. so there are, and I know that sounds weird, but I do like it when I did a segment before, Paula, on how laughter really is good medicine, and so it's nice to see sometimes some research, proof that love and laughter and this kind of stuff is good for us. So what has scientific studies shown, regarding how love helps us, our heart, our brain, our bodies, et cetera?
Well, it's fantastic because science is now proving what we've all known, and that is that love really feels good. And what science is showing is that when we have feelings of love, it's releasing all these endorphins and kind of resets our whole body. And it can lower our levels of cortisol, which, is a stress hormone, so it makes us more relaxed and we automatically feel better. And then it also boosts our immune system. So we can actually be healthier just by having feelings of love. And that's why we see in a lot of studies that happily married couples, and I emphasize happily married couples, live longer than people who are, say, in a negative relationship or who are single. And then there was, what was really interesting to me is recently Rutgers University did a study, and it shows that feelings of love increases the dopamine brain activity, which gives you more energy, greater optimism, and an overall better sense of well-being. So there's a lot of science out there that shows that.
Yeah. So Paula, do you think that's the main? And again, I'm cautious about linking love to a brain chemical because I do believe it's more than that. But do you think it's dopamine related? Is that the main? What about, because you hear a lot about oxytocin as well now too? Is that playing a role in all this?
Oxytocin plays a huge role in it, and as we know, that makes us feel so. It's like the love hormone, and it's interesting because we had one narrative in our magazine in our most recent issue, and where it talked about this woman when her daughter's feeling down, she'll rub her daughter's arm and say, oxytocin, oxytocin, oxytocin. And first of all, just saying that word will make you automatically smile. And then it also resets what the girl's thinking about, and so it does. It is very powerful, a very powerful chemical within us. And
they call it the nurturing, chemical too, because when a new mother is breastfeeding, mm-hmm. for instance, there's a lot of oxytocin being produced, and so that chemical is connecting the child to the mom. Yeah. Let's back up for a sec though, because I'm always interested in you obviously are doing some really good work, Paula, especially with, I think, did I say that right, the Sexual Abuse Resource Network, is that what it's called?
Yes.
So what got you started in all of it? I mean, what's your inspiration for writing about love and starting, your resource network for sexual abuse? So just give us a little bit about who you are and what inspired you.
Well, I started the Sexual Abuse Resource Network because I grew up as a victim of childhood sexual abuse, and I saw the effects that it had. As I went through my healing process, I saw many other people who weren't able to reach that point in their healing. or were having struggling with getting past certain points, and there's many resources out there, but they weren't necessarily sure how to access those resources. So I started the Sexual Abuse Resource Network to provide kind of a gateway to guide them. If this is your need, this is where you go, and just help them on that journey. And with everything I'm doing with Live Happy, that all plays into it because, you know, your mindset and what's going on, if you can understand your mind and your emotions from a scientific aspect, and if you can start to understand happiness differently, it makes a huge difference in your journey through this life. It gives you an incredible sense of power and ability to handle challenging situations.
Yeah, so you know, so the Live Happy publication that you put out, that you're the editor, and I'm sorry, is it Live Happy Science or just Live Happy?
It's Live Happy Magazine.
Live Happy Magazine. You talk about how redefining love can bring a sense of release, and I'm not sure if I fully understand that. What do you mean by a sense of release?
Well, so many people are caught up in this pressure, if you will, that they need a romantic relationship and they need that one person and that long-term fulfilling relationship. And, you know, as we see, that's not always the case. And if you can redefine love and let it mean something different to you, because it does mean different things to different people on different levels, and look at it beyond a romantic sense and beyond that need, it removes that pressure that a lot of people are under. And it really gives us the freedom to make various types of connections with a lot of different people. And, you know, some of these connections might be very fleeting. They might not last. It might be someone you meet on a vacation, someone, and not in a romantic sense. Just you have a shared connection, and that releases the same kind of endorphins and oxytocin and does the same kind of dopamine brain activity as if you are in a long-term committed relationship.
Okay, but what about the person who, and I'm not sure if I'm using this term correctly, like the introvert who's not necessarily alone, because I think we misunderstand what introvert means sometimes, but the person who maybe just doesn't maybe connect as easy, not as comfortable connecting with people. I mean, they're, you know, maybe they're functioning just fine, but How do you help them? Maybe they want to connect a little bit better. Is there any advice you give to that type of person, how they can connect better like that?
I think a lot of it is if you can find one person, whether it's through a work or an organization, that you have something in common with. You know, there's a synchronicity. If you can have a shared conversation with someone, the science shows that we will start leaning in closer. We'll start emulating, mimicking one another's actions. If you can just engage in a conversation. And that's kind of where it starts, where you have this moment, and that might be all you have, and then you break away. And, you know, for the introvert, of which I am one, you know, I know if you're like that, that felt good. So you're going to speak that out again.
You know, and Paula, I don't think I used that word right. Being an introvert is not wrong. It's
right.
It's and so I want to make sure my listeners understand that so maybe I used the wrong word there. There are some people who don't feel as comfortable in those kind of social settings and connecting. So I like the idea of just finding something in common and using that as that springboard into that closer relationship. We only have maybe a minute or so left. First of all, why don't you give us a website for Live Happy and also a website for the Sexual Abuse Resource Network.
Great, yeah. Live Happy, you can go to livehappy.com. You can also find it on Facebook, and that's a great portal to learn more about the magazine, and we give positive quotes every day. Sexual Abuse Resource Network, you can also find on Facebook. I'm sorry?
Okay. Yeah, that's good. You know, we'll leave it there because when we come back, Paula, I want to talk about how spending time alone can actually be good for us. So stick around. We'll continue our talk with Paula Phelps. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.